In coming days, we will see the greatest manifestations of the Savior's power that the world has ever seen. Between now and the time he returns with power and great glory, he will bestow countless privileges, blessings, and miracles upon the faithful.
Aloha and welcome to LDS Real People, Real Lives podcast. If you are new, welcome and thank you for your continued support going out to those who continue to listen to the podcast. Sometimes I can't believe that we're finishing off our fourth season and people still listen. But I know that if you're anything like me, I am constantly looking for nourishment, personal testimony, stories from other saints. I want to hear real life, real world scenarios and what is going on, what people are doing to survive and thrive and to overcome. So here we are. This episode is about life being hard, the hardships, its place in our life, its purpose, and how we can endure and overcome. Thank you for joining us. Hard is part of life. Suffering, trauma. I've been listening to the Sean Ryan show, so please just put your politics aside. I really enjoyed the people that he's had on there. I agree and disagree with most of them. I think it's rare that we ever agree 100% with somebody, but they had a guest on named Victor Marks. And I really encourage you to go over to the Sean Ryan show and listen to the second part. He witnesses of and shares his testimony that is so powerfully strong of the Spirit and the saving grace of the Lord and Heavenly Father in times of need, in times of when we're being harmed, when evildoers are expressing their wickedness all over their victims and their prey. For somebody who is not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he certainly understands the gospel with utter perfection. I wonder what would happen if he was given a Book of Mormon, but I digress. I think that he is very discerning. But the point here and what he makes is that his life was hard, extremely abused child by his stepfather. I mean, he lived in fear of whether or not he would live or die growing up. A stepfather who was just absolutely brutal. I mean, I oftentimes say to myself, how can somebody do that to a child? How can somebody do that at all? I'm grateful that I don't have the ability to understand how these people can be so mean and cruel and diabolical. And he was asked in this particular episode, where was God? And he shares a powerful experience about how he came to understand that being alive and living this life does not mean that you're not going to have bad people do bad things. The experience here is good and evil against human beings. Which one are we going to choose? Which God are we going to serve? And oftentimes the innocent, those that choose Christ, will suffer and be on the receiving end of these horrible people who just are sick, sick in the head, sick in the heart, sick in the spirit. And he talks about how there was this one time that his dad, his stepdad, had taken him into the room, took off his belt, and was getting ready to wail on him. And he shares a very powerful experience when he actually poses this question, God, are you there? And he's taken back to this memory of being in this room with his father, who is stepfather, who's getting ready to just really bring him such great harm and hurt him in ways that, I mean, this type of harm can split personalities. It's a defensive mechanism of the mind and an incredible trauma. And what he was shown through the Spirit of God was Jesus Christ laying over him, taking the beating, being part of the beating, and writing that horrible experience out with him. As he was sharing this, I just felt so compelled to share my witness and testimony too. When we are in times of great peril and we are the victim of somebody who is doing horrendous acts, unspeakable, horrendous evil, that is when Christ shines. Out of my trauma, the many times that I was taken to my closet in my bedroom to be abused, to be used, as if my intelligence, my spirit, my being was nothing and was worth absolutely nothing. That is the time that I had Christ with me, writing it out, taking me away, and protecting me. And he did that. And then I had a choice as I grew up into a young adult and an adult to decide what to do with these experiences. And we can either take these experiences and use them as a crutch to murmur and have so much self-pity, which is going to derail your life, because that's what murmuring, whining, complaining, self-pity, and self-sabotage does. Or you can take it and go the other direction and make good choices. Use it. And in this particular case, he used it to work with youth that were imprisoned. And he still is doing that to this day. He is helping. He had one example where he went into a youth prison. There was 75 of them. When he got done with ministering to them and spending time with them and just being a big brother, 56 out of those 75, I believe is what he said, 56 out of those 75 came unto Christ. Tell me that things are not consecrated for your good and others' good. We came here to be like Heavenly Father. Just like earthly parents who try to protect and shield us from things that can happen to us that will bring us great harm, they can't always perfectly succor us because they're fallen, they're human, but they do the best they can, and we understand because we feel that love, we feel that support. We know that they're there through their actions, through their words, and we love them even with their flaws. So how can we not give Christ and Heavenly Father our perfect devotion, even in the times of such great trauma, who bless us perfectly, who will consecrate these experiences if we choose the right and to follow Christ to be for our good and the good of those around us? This is the world that we live in. We came here to learn. It's a curriculum. It's a battle between good and evil. And we are stuck right in the middle to make choices. And we are oftentimes on the receiving end of choices of others. So that great question that everybody asks, why would God let this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God, allow what's going on in Israel and the Middle East right now? Why would God allow what's going on to Ukraine? Why would God allow children to suffer so greatly? If you have these questions, I challenge you to study and search and pray about it through the Spirit of God. Look at your own experiences, your own times in your life, when your bad has brought about so much good. So much good. This is very important for us to understand. So if you've got something that you're dealing with and you're feeling, why me? Why do I have to do this? Why did he allow this to happen to me? I want you to fall back on what you know about the character of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And if you don't know them very well, set to task. Get to know them, draw close to them, and build your relationship with them. As you do this, they, through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will teach you and reveal the very knowledge that you need to not only satisfy your desire for answers, but also satisfy the need, or actually satisfy the fact that you're not probably going to get an answer that's going to give you 100% knowledge, but it will be enough for you then to exercise your faith and to go about doing good. If God loves me, why is life so hard? This is a article taken from the Gospel Library app, done by Barbara A. Lewis, who is an author that lives in Utah. With the Savior's help, we can endure trials with faith and come out stronger for it. Methuselah is not only the name of the longest living prophet of the Old Testament, but also the name of one of the oldest living trees in the world. Located in California in America, this bristlecone pine tree is close to 5,000 years old. Bristlecone pine trees grow on high, craggy cliffs up to 10,000 feet in elevation. They endure a climate of harsh winds and little rainfall. Their roots fasten like anchors deep in the soil to soak up the few available nutrients. When bristlecones grow at lower elevations, they don't survive to the age and strength of the cliff-dwelling variety. Like bristlecone pines, we can also grow stronger in difficult conditions if our faith is firmly rooted in the soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of us would not raise our hands and ask for extra helpings of adversity, but with the Savior's help, we can learn to face trials with faith and come out stronger for it. I am not a scriptorian. I don't teach at BYU. I am not eloquent in what I say or do, and I don't use the best analogies. But I'm sure that John from Die Hard, every Christmas when they made that movie, he had so many hardships. He could never just sit back and enjoy and celebrate the Christmas holidays. He always had to save his family and save probably the world too. It was constant, one trial after another, one hard after another. All the things that were happening, the pain, the blood, the fake blood everywhere, but let's just pretend it's real. Him having to go toe-to-toe with these enemies that were cunning and sly and had all of these nefarious plans, and yet he prevailed. So what can we learn from John in the Die Hard movies is to remain rooted in our faith in the soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the soil that he remained rooted in, but his heart was there for good, and he did good. And this is what we can do, is we can overcome these trials and hardships that seem insurmountable, these huge mountains that we face, the Goliaths of our lifetime. With Christ and his gospel, we can overcome. And we know that when we endure and overcome these hardships, that qualifies us for exaltation. So why do we have to endure these trials? What do we learn from them? You know, in the Die Hard movies that I grew up watching, it was about family. It was about doing the right thing. It was about doing good for the world, for your community, and for whatever was going on, and he was the hero. So who is the hero of our day? Who can we look to be our rescuer? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. How comforting it is to know that he has everything firmly in hand. Hardship is part of a loving Heavenly Father's plan. And Lehi explains that one reason to his son Jacob that it must needs be that there is opposition in all things. In other words, there could not be good without the contrast of bad. We could not experience joy if we did not also experience pain. Remember, this is the nature of this life. And so maybe with this knowledge, we can curb our murmuring. Murmuring has never brought anything good in my life, and I still do it. I still have moments of self-pity. Just Friday I did. I did something Thursday night I was not too proud of. And Friday, it really resonated with me, and it was negative. It just drew my whole countenance down, and I really struggled. But thankfully, I have the gospel as very nourishing soil, and I have dug my roots in. So I was able to overcome not only through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, but also with the help of my husband and the love of my adult son who resides with us here. And these are blessings that the Lord has given to me, the support, my net. So I have always said, and I truly believe that a lot of good comes out of a lot of bad. And I can say this because of experience. I've shared some stories before, and I know that when we go through trials and things that push us beyond our capabilities here, that stretch us in ways that we are just so overwhelmed, those are the times of growth. And the Lord is looking to us to land on the right side of things, to learn, to repent when we don't necessarily handle it so well, and just to get on that track of learning, growing, accepting, trusting the Lord, and then doing. Sometimes our Father allows the wicked to harm the righteous in order to justly bring punishment upon the wicked. And we learn that in Alma chapter 14, 10 through 11, where it says, "And when Amalek saw the pains of the women and children who were consuming in the fire, he also was pained, and he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God, which is in us, and save them from the flames. But Alma said unto him, the Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth mine hand. For behold, the Lord receiveth them up unto himself in glory, and he doth suffer that they might do this thing, or that the people may do this thing unto them, according to the hardness of their hearts, that the judgments which he shall exercise upon them in his wrath may be just, and the blood of the innocent shall stand as a witness against them, yea, and cry mightily against them at the last day." A lot of people don't understand that even God has divine laws that he must stay within. He can't just go off half-cocked, willy-nilly, and do whatever he wants. And he is a God of miracles, but he works within those divine constraints, which are a blessing to him and to us. Often, the Lord allows us to experience challenges to help us grow. Lehi assured Jacob that God would consecrate his afflictions for his gain. We are told this and see this in Doctrine and Covenants with Joseph Smith as well, that his sufferings and his hardships would be made for his good. We're not meant to face these trials alone. If we follow the Lord and the teachings of his prophets, we can draw on his strength to endure these trials. And what happens to us is less important than how we react to it, because trials can be a blessing if we use them as an opportunity to draw closer to the Savior. So as we look at the trials and travails and the tempest going on in the world with wars and rumors of wars, I know that there was recently a U.S. warship, I believe, in the North Sea that was attacked by terrorists that I've never heard of before, but are big in the region. People know about them. We've got a lot going on. But do we necessarily need to feel down or depressed or discouraged because of it? when we understand, as it says in Alma 14, 10 through 11, that oftentimes wickedness needs to just write its course so that justice can come. Overcoming the hardships of our life entails accepting His will. And Richard G. Scott, who was an apostle of the Lord, says this: to ask, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer this now? What have I done to cause this? Will lead you into blind alleys. Rather, ask, what am I to do? And what am I to learn from this experience? When you pray with real conviction, please let me know thy will. And may thy will be done. You are in the strongest position to receive the maximum help from your loving Heavenly Father. I want to share a story about a little girl who was 8 years old. Her name is Lizzie Thompson, and she learned to accept God's will and endure faithfully when she was diagnosed with brain cancer. Lizzie loved life. She was a gifted violinist, a nature enthusiast, and a faithful friend, and she believed that her Father in heaven would heal her if she had faith. With a broad smile and a bald head, she bravely told her curious friends about her cancer and said that Heavenly Father would help her get well. When her mother asked her if she remembered to say her prayers, she answered, "Mom, I am praying all the time." However, as Lizzie's condition grew worse, she began to realize that she might not get well. Her family watched her accept and endure suffering with pure faith in God's will. She cried very little, but instead placed love notes around the house for her family. She loved a quote she found from Elder Dieter F. Eckdorf, in which it said, "In Heavenly Father's plan, there are no true endings, only everlasting beginnings." And she clung to that promise with hope. At Christmas time, while awaiting her own chemotherapy at the hospital, Lizzie played Christmas carols on her violin for the other children awaiting treatment. A Santa hat covered her bald head, and an ivy needle was attached under her sleeve as she played Silent Night and other carols. Doctors and nurses stopped to listen with tissues in hand, and her peaceful music filled the cancer clinic with hope. And Lizzie's family continued to fast and pray for her recovery, but God had another plan for Lizzie. Within a few months, she couldn't talk or move. On her last Sunday, as she lay almost lifeless in bed, the sun streamed through the window and bathed her small frame in light. Those gathered around her knew that they were in the presence of a noble spirit. And soon after, Lizzie quietly passed away. With the enduring faith of a child, she had set the example and entered an everlasting beginning. Lizzie is the ultimate example, patiently endured the trial of her cancer. She followed the example of Jesus Christ, who endured with faith beyond mortal imagining. He took upon himself every sin, sickness, pain, and affliction that we would ever experience, and he was betrayed, he was mocked and beaten, and he was crucified. He descended below all things and drank that bitter cup, all the while glorifying the Father and faithfully accepting His will. I have the hardest time doing this, glorifying the Father in the midst of my hardships, faithfully accepting His will. I have so much to strive for and so much to learn. What if Jesus had wavered in His commitment to do His Father's will? President Russell M. Nelson asks. His atonement would not have been accomplished. The dead would not be resurrected, and the blessings of immortality and eternal life would be elusive. But Jesus did endure. He paid for all our sins and suffering and paid the price of our return to our Father because He endured with faith. Each of us can enjoy the blessings of eternal life. Relating this to my own personal experiences and being at the ripe old age of 51, I can pinpoint times in my life where this has happened. But I like to recall, most importantly, the trials and the traumas and the hardships of my youth and my childhood. One of the reasons why is because even though these horrible traumatic things were happening through people that I should have been able to trust, who should have been able to provide me with love and security and safety, I knew that the Lord was there. just like the story that I shared from the Sean Ryan show and his guest, during the times of trauma, the Lord was bending over me and protecting me and absorbing the abuse as well. He helped me in ways that assisted me as a young child to learn the language of the Spirit, to hear it clearly in order to be comforted and succored and strengthened as I was being traumatized at the hands of my abusers. Okay? This is the example that we have, that I have in my life, of the way that the Lord works. He did not abandon me. Because of this experience and learning and training at such a young age, I've always trusted Christ. I've trusted the Spirit, and I've looked to the Spirit for help, even when I was doing things that I was essentially self-sabotaging. I was bringing great harm to myself, and I was doing things that would not please the Lord at all. It's interesting that when you go through so much trauma in your life that you can develop these self-medicated soothing ways that are actually very detrimental to your health, your well-being, your spirituality. And yet in the midst of all of that, of all of these poor choices and distortive thoughts, things that are going on, the Lord was still able to pierce those horrible times of darkness and shine light and guide me in the direction that I needed to go. Because I had faith like a child, I believed, I followed a slight prompting from the Spirit, and I was on board. And this is just my nature, and I'm grateful for it. I thank God for it all the time. Our Heavenly Father did not put us on earth to fail, but to succeed gloriously, and His plan of salvation is one of success. I am currently reading a book with my husband called Odds Are You're Going to Be Exalted. And man, it has been a great book to help us to understand that our chances are very good that we're going to be able to go home and live once again with our Heavenly Father, Christ, and our family and Heavenly Mother. Elder Razvan of the 12 Apostles encourages us to press on no matter how hard it gets, no matter how steep the climb, no matter how little you have left to keep going, to remember and rely upon the Lord's promise to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We're also told, my son, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversity and thine affliction shall be but a small moment, and then if thou endure it well, God shall exalt thee on high. And that's Doctrine and Covenants 121, 7 through 8. Everything is in the gospel. Whatever you need to endure and press forward and to overcome your trials and hardships is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I recently saw that there are 45,000 different denominations of Christianity here on earth. Oh, how the great opposer has been so successful in much confusion. But make no mistake, there is one baptism, one path, one glorious reckoning of this life and this experience is here. One Christ, one kingdom, one church, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Is that arrogance? No, it is truth. So we hold fast to it. We are saints in His church, and we can overcome. And what I would love to leave with you this day is, if you are struggling, if you cannot see above the turmoil of rough seas, if you cannot look beyond the hurricane of your life, please hold fast. Envision your loving Savior and hold fast. It will pass. Continue to read. Do your scriptures. go to church, attend the temple, and if you cannot, get your temple recommend so you can. In these latter days, we will not survive without temple attendance. I firmly believe in this. You are so loved. We are here to learn and to grow, and unfortunately, we just don't do that when everything is hunky-dory and a-okay. We do that in opposition, and we do that in the hard. And I want you to know that it's okay. Look to the Lord's understanding for your life. Look to the Lord's blessings and guidance for your life, and let go of what you feel you need or want, unless it falls in line with prayerful requests of instruction and direction. Through this, you will find the confidence that you need to overcome your hards and your fires. You will find the ability to reflect the happiness and joy that comes from the saving grace of our King, who is majestic and all-loving and all-knowing and blesses us perfectly. With great love, I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you have time, could you do me a favor? Whatever platform you are listening to this podcast from, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you're at, can you please go on there and just rate the podcast? That way people can find it easier with more interaction through ratings and reviews. The podcast can be pushed out there, and I certainly would appreciate your support and help with this. Please remember to be kind, to remain healthy, sound, and most importantly, faithful. And look to those around you who are needing assistance or help in some way. This is the greatest way to overcome our own hardships, is to serve. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. The world needs more love and kindness, and we can be those candlesticks of the Lord out into the world. So let us shine our light so bright. May you have a wonderful holiday season. I'm not sure if this is going to be the last episode of the year or not, but just know that you are loved, you are cherished, and heaven is cheering you on, and I am too. Much aloha, and God bless.